Second Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. Reading 1. The First Book of Samuel, Chapter 3, 3b to 10 and 19. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said, "you called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. The Lord called Samuel again, for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. Reading 2. Corinthians 1, chapter 6, verses 13c to 15a, 17 through 20. Brothers and sisters, the body is not for immortality, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immortality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immortal person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, Lamb of God, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, and one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Theme: we need to hear, to see, and to reason so that we could recognize God's will. God could reveal to a person directly or through a mediator. Most of the time he revealed through a mediator. In order to recognize God's will, people need to have three elements: God, a mediator, and the revealed person. Today's readings show us practical examples to recognize God's will. In the first reading, God called the child Samuel three times before he revealed himself to him. Samuel recognized God's voice through the help of his master Eli. In the second reading, St. Paul helped us to recognize God's will in his creation of our body. We must use our body to do God's will and to glorify God. We can't use our body for immoral life because they are parts of God's body and the Holy Spirit's temple. In the Gospel, John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God to people and to encourage his two disciples to follow Jesus. After knowing Jesus, one of the two is Andrew, introduced his brother Simon to Jesus. Simon's name was changed to Peter by Jesus, and he became his disciples from that time on. Analysis, reading 1. The child Samuel was guided by Eli to recognize God's call. Samuel's life was exceptional, even before his conception. His mother Hannah was barren for a long time and suffered insults from people. She made a vow to God that if he gave her a son, she would give him back to God so that the child could serve God all the days of his life. God accepted her prayer and gave her a son. She named him Samuel, which means I asked God for him. She kept her promise and took her child to the high priest Eli at Shiloh so that he could serve God in the temple. After saying goodbye to his mother, Samuel stayed in the temple until God began to reveal himself to him in today's passage. God tested Samuel 3 times. Before God reveals to Samuel, he wants to test the child's awareness during his sleep. According to the passage, the author reported what happened the first time. The lamp of God has not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down within the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. At that time, Samuel didn't know God yet. This is why the child, even though he slept in the temple, ran to his master Eli, because there were only 2 of them in the temple. Eli also didn't know if God called the child or his imagination, so he told him to go back to bed. Eli helped Samuel to respond to God. After the 3rd time, Eli recognized it might be God's call, and he taught the child the proper way to respond to God. He instructed Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" God might call us many times, but we wouldn't recognize God's call because of many reasons. Our environment is so noisy, our sleep is so sound, and too many worldly distractions are in our mind. Samuel responded to God's call. With the master's instruction, Samuel went back to his bed, and when God called him 1 more time, he responded as instructed, "Speak, for thy servant hears." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Several things we may learn from Samuel. First, temples or churches are places where people can recognize God's will because of their tranquility and sacredness. Samuel served and slept in God's temple at Shiloh. Secondly, every time Samuel heard the call, he immediately responded, though he didn't know it was from God. Every important event that happened in our life is an opportunity for us to recognize God's will. We need to meditate and to pray in order to find out his will for us. Lastly, Samuel ran to his master to ask for guidance every time he heard the call, and he did exactly as he was instructed. We also need guidance from spiritual directors who help us to discern our problems and to recognize what God would like us to do. Reading 2, Human Body. Human body is created to do God's will, not for entertainment. Most of the authentic letters written by St. Paul are to answers to problems which were happening in the churches he established. The problem in today's passage is the fornication, which some Corinthians didn't regard as a sin. According to Plato and his followers, the human body is a prison that confines human soul. Therefore, there are two ways of life resulted from this concept. Some people, like the Manicheans, favor strict asceticism. They beat up and neglect their body in order to control them. Some, like Epicureans or Hedonists, favor a pleasure life. They don't consider fornication as sinful because they think the body isn't important. St. Paul must face the latter way of life. He instructed his faithful in Corinth to avoid fornication due to the dignity of the human body. Your body is a part of Christ's body. The theology of human body is one of the main topics in Pauline Corpus. According to him, all Christians are members of one body, which is the church, and Christ as the head. Therefore, all Christians have duty to safeguard Christ's body, since if one part is hurt, the whole body is hurt. Based on this principle, St. Paul concluded that the human body is created to serve God, not for fornication. He taught us two important concepts about the human body. The human body shall be destroyed. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. The body must be used as an instrument to glorify God. Human body shall be resurrected. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. But he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. When one unites his body with someone, he becomes one body with that people. This is only legal between husband and wife. Therefore, when one commits fornication, he separates himself from Christ's body because sin cannot be together with holiness in Christ's body. Our body is the Holy Spirit's temple. St. Paul continued to teach his faithful. Every other sin which a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, the Christians are anointed to become God's children and to do his works. We can no longer live for ourselves, but for God. As Christ, we are buried with his passion and death, so that when he is glorified in his resurrection, we shall also be glorified with him in our resurrection. And St. Paul concluded, shun immorality, and glorify God in your body. Application in life. We need to see, to hear, and to reason in order to recognize God's will. Once we are recognized, we should have the courage to do it and to introduce God to people. We need all three elements: God, mediators, and ourselves to recognize God's will. If we lack one of these elements, we shall not recognize his will.